Hallelujah.
Sit on top of your enemies. Amen. Every time I come to Senior Champions Church, I have to shudder. I have to be very careful. I need to behave very well. What do you think? Can you hear me well? The sound, is it all right? Is it clear? Can everybody hear me very well? If you can hear me, wave your hand and say amen. Amen. Wonderful. Senior, thank you again for the joy of seeing you again and being in this beautiful, beautiful church. We honor God for his grace and for his mercy. Amen. And I thank God for all of us who are here tonight. I believe that God has ordered your steps to be here. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Did you say amen to that? God has brought us here, and I'm happy that I am going to be sharing the word of God with you. And I trust that the time that we're going to spend before the house of in the house of God and before the in together will be well spent. Amen. And God is going to be glorified in every life that is here. If you believe it, shout amen. And this is particularly, if you like, loyalty conference. It's a conference and a teaching that is going to influence us, and especially for those who are going somewhere with the Lord. Ask your neighbor, are you going somewhere with the Lord? Ask your neighbor, are you going somewhere with the Lord? Or you are going nowhere? What a shock. Hallelujah. May you walk with God all the days of your life. May God be glorified in our lives. Shout amen again. Serving the Lord is a beautiful thing. The longer I serve him, the sweeter it gets. I'm not tired of serving him. I don't have any disappointment in serving him. If I had my life to live all over again, I'll serve Jesus all the days of my life. Hallelujah. If I ever have an opportunity to live my life again, I'll serve him. Even I'll start earlier than I started. Amen. Because the longer I serve him, the sweeter it gets. It only gets better and better. Tell your neighbor, it gets better and better. Amen. Turn the Bible with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Right, it's an ambulance. All right, God is going to keep us alive and well. May God keep you and keep your loved ones from armed robbery and from wicked people. May God preserve your going out and coming in. May God turn every evil away from you. Every sort of wickedness will be broken before you in the name of Jesus. Any plot against your life will never come to pass. You will live and not die. I said, you will live and not die. No armed robber will gain access to your house. May angels of God watch over your house. May they preserve you and your loved ones. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, right. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Amen. I know thy works. Amen. This phrase appears several times in the Bible. In this book of Revelation, Jesus says, I know your works. Now, before we got saved, we always know that we used to sing, it's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. And we are complete in him. Tina, remember the song? Complete, complete, complete in him. Many of you are not born again. You're born again not too long ago. That's why I don't know this song. We are complete in him. It's a beautiful one. We should sing it. The first stanza is, by words of righteousness, by grace alone. Da, 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 da. You see, we had a little group in our school. Westina Champa was the Scripture Union president. And a little group used to sing this song. Amen. Before you got saved, your works of righteousness was never good enough. It was whatever you did would never get you saved. But after you are saved, your works are important. That is why he wrote to the church and said, I know thy works. Hold your neighbor's shoulder and shake him and tell him, he knows your works. Hallelujah. In other words, God records every work you do in his house. Obinkade, amen. Amen. God knows all the efforts you make towards his kingdom. God knows every sacrifice you make. Jesus said, I know thy works. I know thy works. All the letters to the churches, Jesus always tells them, I know thy works. In other words, he's recording everything that you do, whether good or bad, in the kingdom. Amen. Every work, every church you pastor, every work you do, any visiting you make, any effort you make toward the kingdom, any song you sing in the church, he says, I know thy works. Hallelujah. Have you read a verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58? One of the most beautiful verses of scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Hallelujah. Unmovable. Always abounding. Hallelujah. Always doing what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren in Word Harvest Church, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always abounding. Amen. In the works of the Lord. Amen. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you have another version of the Bible here? New Living. You have New Living Translation? NLT. Beautiful translation. I like King James because that is what Sinai Champon taught me from. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 15 says that, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Push at them and say, be immovable. Say, nothing can move you. Hallelujah. Be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Hallelujah. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Why don't you clap your hands for the Lord? Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do for God. I've preached many sermons. I've visited many sick people. I've officiated many marriages. I've counseled many people. And I know that nothing I do for God is ever useless. Some of you have supported NDC and MPP. When they came to power, they forgot about you. But when you work for the Lord, nothing you do will ever be useless. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, You call yourself NDC foot soldier, MPP polling agent. After they win the election, they forget about you. But the Lord will never forget about you in the name of Jesus. That is why I love working for God. I love giving my... One day, a friend of mine met me at the airport. And he said, Yichisaki, since we finished school, we haven't met. You're looking very well, very nice. I said, thank God. And he asked me, why are you working now? I told him, I'm a minister. He said, wow, can I shake your hand? Are you a minister of education, a minister of finance? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God look after you as you work in the house. I said, may God look after you as you work in the house. I will never go so low to reduce. I will not reduce my office. Minister, I'm a minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And I'm proud about it. And I cherish it. I love it. And I'm going all the way out of the way. Amen. Now, even if you are a lay person, you do your secular job, your real work is working for God. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. If you sell both fruit, or if you work in the bank, your real work is the work you do for God. That both fruit that you sell, that cake that you bake, that bank you work for, is only to keep you surviving. But the work that has a real reward is the work you do in the house of God. Hallelujah. That is where the reward comes from. That is where the blessing comes from. May God open for you an heavenly account. Every time you pray, every time you follow up a soul, every time you visit, every time you preach, you are putting something in your heavenly account. Amen. Nothing you do for God is ever useless. I love it. Nothing I do for God. You know, in this world, people will not appreciate what you do for God. But God knows it. And God records it. That's what Jesus says, that I know your works. He doesn't only know. We sing a song. He knows my name. He knows my every tear. It's not only your name. He also knows your works. Hallelujah. He knows Reverend Dr. Yaboah, and he knows his works. When he mentions your name, God also has computer in heaven. When you are, you mention your name and then angel point, papa, papa, let's see his works. And the work he did at the airport will not be listed there. But the work you did in the house of God, that's what will be listed out there. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Are you still here? What you did for God is what is going to matter. Amen. Anyway, let's carry on. This is just by the way. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. Now, the angel said, I know that, Jesus spoke to the angel, said, I know that works. Which verse are we on? Okay, very good. The end tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Whisper to your neighbor, say to your neighbor, you are very rich, you are very rich. Don't say it loud, don't say it loud, say you are very rich. Amen. Now, it's beautiful that this is in brackets. That you see, at that time, the church in Smyrna, they were poor. They didn't have so much and all that. They're going through all sorts of challenges. And Jesus is the one speaking. He's the one telling them. He said, I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. But actually, you're very rich. It's almost like you have a bank account that nobody knows about. They think you are poor, but you're actually very rich. Which makes your neighbor get your neighbor, you are very, very rich. Because you're working for God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Some of you are very richer than you think. Your family members think that you're wasting your time. But they don't know the heavenly account that you are depositing everything that you do inside. You are not poor. Say, I'm not poor. Say it like you believe it. I'm not poor. Say, I am very rich. Can you see that these are the words of Jesus to the church? He said, I know your poverty. I know your tribulation. But you are actually rich. We are richer than the world thinks. I said, we are richer than the world thinks. Some our wealth, do you know that even our welfare, it cannot be quantified by money. The wealth of the church, your own personal wealth, you cannot measure it by money.
The joy you have in your heart, you can never go to a Melcom and say, I'm buying joy. They say, I want to buy joy, 200 Ghana cedis. You cannot buy joy in Motor Show. But as you work for God, God will give you what money cannot buy. Lift your hand and shout amen. May God give you what money cannot buy. I'm preaching. Say, preach, Bishop, preach. I said, God will give you what money cannot buy. There's a kind of peace, that you cannot buy from. You cannot go and buy it from the market, Makola. You have moved for a shop. Did they sell peace in the shop? Amen. You see, so when Jesus said that, you're actually very rich. Some of you think you're poor. You are not poor. You are very rich. You may not have a BMW, but you are very rich. So many people have BMW wish that they are sitting where you are saying they cannot sit there. You are very rich. Amen. Anyway, he says, let's carry on. He says, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Next verse. Goes on to say, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death. Amen. Be thou what? I didn't hear. Be thou what? I didn't hear you at all. Be thou what? No, he said, be thou faithful until you get a job. Is that what he said? No, look, maybe my eyes are not very good, so I can't see well. Be thou faithful until you get married. Some people have given God to him. God, if I'm really serving you, by the end of 2017, I must be married. Otherwise, God, I'm going somewhere. What a shock. If I don't get a job by the end of, by June 2018, God, me and you, what did he say? What a shock. But I said, be faithful not until you get a job, not until you go to America. Be faithful unto. What a word. Amen. You know, I love this word. I love this phrase alone. Be thou faithful unto. Because the truth of the matter is that one of the appointment that nobody can miss, the appointment, called death. That appointment, you cannot miss it. Except you have the Elijah's anointing that you can translate it to heaven. But otherwise, all of us will have an appointment with death. If you like, add 50 years to your years and see where you'll be in 50 years' time. If you add 50 years to your years right now, many of us will not be here in 50 years' time. Or, if you are here, you will even be a problem to your family. You'll be worrying your family members. 50 years from now, we will not be here. Senior, 50 years from now, we will not be here. Most likely, we will not be here. So, as for the appointment with death, it will surely come. Now, the Bible, Jesus was telling the church, you got to be faithful unto death. Be faithful until the last day. Hallelujah. I gave my life to Christ in 1975. That is 43 years ago. That is when I gave my life to Christ. It has been a long journey, but I'm glad that I'm still fighting on. And I'm not tired at all. I have more energy than I had 40 years ago. My zeal is hotter than it was 40 years ago. My fire is burning brighter than it was 40 years ago. I still have fire. I still have energy. I still have the strength of God. And I pray to God that I shall remain faithful until I die. Somebody shout amen. I cannot say I have not had challenges. I cannot say I have not had mountains that I have to climb. I cannot say I have not gone through valley. But I can say that by the grace of God, I'm still fighting on. May you fight on to the very end in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Today, Christians, we are like I keep saying, we are like Chinese-made Christians. You know Chinese-made. Chinese-made goods, they don't last. Small, no, then they are spoiled. If you go and buy Chinese lock, open your door, clock, 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 the key is broken. Go and buy Chinese fan. It goes from one small, no, it spoils. Many Christians are like Chinese-made Christians. Small, no, they are backsliding. May you be an exemption in the name of Jesus. May you not be a Chinese, may you be heavenly made Christian. Shout amen. Chinese made phone. Ring small, fall down small, no, it's spoiled. What a shock. Ask your neighbor, are you Chinese made or heavenly made? Ask your neighbor, are you Chinese made? Chinese made Christian. Huh? Are you still here? Worship choir, ask your neighbor, are you Chinese made? Are you Chinese made? Some of you, when you are broke small, no, I won't go to church today. Something small, no, when a brother doesn't marry you, no, Lord, you see what I've done? I'll go and marry an unbeliever. You are Chinese made. Are you still there? Little prayer, somebody steps on your toe. I'm going to my Zion. You are going to Italy. You are Chinese made. Chinese made Christians, they can't endure anything. They can't endure small fire. They can't endure any challenge. Little things, throw them off. But by the grace of God, you'll be solid. Say, I'll be solid. I did not hear you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Some people, they get, I mean, I don't know, maybe all of you in this church are different. But I know Christians who get offended very easily. Little things, they're offended. When you step on their toes, I'm going. No, you see, I always say that if you come to church and somebody steps on your toes, when you go home next week, come to church, leave your toes at home. Nobody will step on the toes. What do you think? As for church, by all means, come. But leave your toes at home. Then nobody will step on your toes and you'll be going on. Amen. Are you there? Now, I'm talking to you tonight. I'm going to start talking to you about be faithful unto death. Amen. Be faithful unto death. There's so much in my heart I would like to share with you here. I pray that God give us the grace to receive them. I said, may God give you the grace to receive them. Are you here? I pray. You know, in Jude, when I read the book of Jude, Jude initially wanted to write about to the church about the common salvation, about the salvation that they all had. But instead of on second thoughts, turn to look at the book of Jude. We'll come back here. Book of Jude, verse 2. Jude is only one chapter. The book of Jude is just before, just after Matthew. What a shock. Jude says that mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. My Jesus. The next verse says what? The next verse. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only God, any Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at verse 3 again. Verse 3, beautiful. He said, I wanted to write to you concerning our common salvation. Jude wanted to talk to the church about salvation. That's what I wanted to do. But he said, I now realized that I had, it was needful. Somebody said needful. I didn't hear you. He says, it was needful for me to write unto you, to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. You see, That salvation is very important. But for us to be able to stand and win souls, we must be solid on the ground. Say amen. So he said, I wanted you to write concerning a common salvation. But then it was needful, necessary. This is why the teaching on faithfulness and loyalty is important. Because I wanted to write about salvation, but it was needful for me to write concerning the common concern our salvation. That you contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Fight for the faith. Say amen. Fight to be faithful. Fight to be faithful. Hallelujah. I wanted to exhort you. So tonight, I am coming to exhort you. As I'm coming to do what? Exhort you. I'm coming to encourage you to contend for the faith. Hallelujah. To stand for the faith. To be faithful in your calling. Amen. Because no matter how well we preach salvation, no matter how many we reach out to, if the people come and they don't come and find a faithful, loyal, dependable, solidly rooted church, they will backslide. Tell your neighbor, the man is talking to you. Hallelujah. Now I'm saying, and let me say it again. If we go and preach out there, we go and win souls, they come, and they don't come and find a solidly stable believers and church, that we are solid in our faith, we are faithful in our calling, we are one in our vision, they don't come and find it, those who come in will fall away. I pray that when they come and find solid believers right in this church, may you be a solid believer. Push at him and say, may you be solid. Push him until he falls down. Tell him, may you be solid. May you be solid. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That you earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto us. Amen. The faith was once delivered to us, the saints. I will never, never, never stop talking about Senior Champon and Senior Castro, who delivered unto us the faith. They delivered something to us and they moved on. And it was our duty to contend for the faith. I'm glad after many, many years of moving on, when I met Senior Champon, I wasn't dodging, I was still in the faith. Some of you, when you meet your spiritual fathers, you'll be dodging. Say, hey, the man is coming. May you contend for the faith that has been delivered to you. Are you still here? Something has been and this generation, something has been delivered to us. God has delivered to us the message of the cross. God has delivered to us the salvation and also what we need to. But let us contend for the faith which has been delivered to us. Our parents, some of you come from very good Christian home, come church on Pentecost background. Our fathers used to love God. They were not as worldly as we are now. They were not as earthly as we are now. It is time for us to also contend for the faith so that we can deliver to our children what faith is. And when our children, it's the turn of our children, they also contend for the faith. May we contend for the faith. I said, may we contend for the faith. Are you still in church? Or you're falling asleep? All this introduction to what I'm going to be sharing with you. Amen. But you need to know how to contend. You need to know how to fight. Once again, hold your neighbor's shoulder and shake him and ask him, are you a fighter? Are you a fighter? Shake him and tell him, are you a fighter? Do you know how to fight? No, no, no. I want you to tell. You see, the ladies in this church, they are very gentle. When I say, I see they don't know how, but you know how to quarrel in the house. So when I say, you must say it well. Sure, check the shirt and ask your neighbor, do you know how to fight? I'm telling you, ladies, they can quarrel. Some ladies, they behave as if they cannot even kill a fly or mosquito. But we are going to contend. I said we are going to contend. We are going to contend. Because many things, why do you have to contend for something that it's your that is yours already? Because somebody wants to snatch it from your hands. Amen. If I have my, can I have my phone, my brother? Can I have my phone? This phone is mine. If I have my phone and I'm walking at Makola, and I'm looking at pictures, nice pictures. And I'm standing at a place where people are watching me and say, hey, look at my wife. She's nice, though. Hey, oh, hi. Nice. Before I realize, somebody has snatched my phone. Do you understand? Because where I'm walking is a dangerous place. So although the phone is for me, I have to hold my phone very well. I hold my phone and, hello, who is talking? Hello, 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 hello. And back into my pocket. Because the phone is mine. Somebody wants to snatch my phone from me. So I need to fight for my phone. May you contend for what is yours in the name of Jesus. The faith has been delivered to us. As it has been delivered to us. But up to us to contend. May we contend for the faith. So that our churches will become solid. Did you say amen? The devil wants to spoil churches. The devil wants to spoil your calling. The devil wants to mess up the gift of God on your life. Hallelujah. Are you still in church? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Haven't you seen churches which have been spoiled before? Haven't you seen churches which were doing very well, but the enemy crept into the church? Because you said that certain men have crept into the church unawares. Verse 5, look at it. Verse 5. He said, I will therefore put you. Remember, though you once knew this, how that the Lord having saved, verse 4. Yeah. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Crept in unawares. Who were before of ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turn the grace of God unto lasciviousness, denying the Lord God. And our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that some people are crept into, you know, things can creep into churches. People can creep into churches. Troublemakers can creep into churches. That is why you and I need to stand and contend for the faith. So that when anybody creeps into the church who is not part of us, God will eliminate the person in the name of Jesus. Because if you allow some people to creep in, they are going to cause trouble for you. But God will save you. Amen. I said God will save you. And God will save his church. Shout amen again. Are you still in church? Right. So now quickly, let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. So we are talking about be faithful unto death. Amen. Be thou faithful unto death. Now, let me quickly show you what it means to be faithful unto death. First of all, the word faithfulness means loyalty. To be faithful means to be loyal. To be faithful means to be dependable. Somebody say loyal. Say dependable. Now ask your neighbor, are you dependable? No, ask him like he demand an answer. Are you dependable? Can I count on you? I'm coming home. Amen. This is the key. As a church, as a ministry I've been involved with, one of the key things that has brought us thus far and kept us together and made us see God's grace in a certain way is the grace of loyalty. Say amen. The grace of faithfulness. Bible says that a faithful man who can find. It didn't say a rich man. It said a faithful man who can find. Amen. God is looking for faithful men, just like you ladies are looking for faithful men to marry. God also wants faithful men to work for him. May you qualify to work for the Lord. If today a young lady wants to get married and I tell you that, oh, look at this brother. He is also single. He's a very nice brother. Only that, you see, he has 17 girlfriends and he wants you to be the 18th one. Will you accept it? You are the 18th girlfriend. And then, oh, he has 7 wives and you want to be the 8th one. Will you accept to be the 8th wife? Sisters, I must say, will you accept to be the 8th wife? Why? The man is rich. He will give you a car. Why don't you want to be the 8th one? Huh? Abomination. What a shock. It's not a bad idea at all. He'll rent a nice house for you. No, the man may be rich. The man may but everybody is his faithfulness is attractive. Somebody say, Bishop, say it again. No, if you see, the reason why I want you to speak back is because it keeps you awake. You don't fall asleep. Amen. So when I say something, I make you repeat so that I know that you are awake. If your neighbor doesn't repeat it, you have to pinch him. I said, faithfulness is attractive. Say it after me. And as you're saying, look at your neighbor. What is neighbor saying? Say, faithfulness is attractive. Look at your neighbor. Everybody's awake. No, it's not good to sleep in church. One day, Paul was preaching and somebody fell asleep. And a person fell from the top and came in and died. Paul was very anointed, raised the man up. Me, I don't think I have anointing to raise the dead. So if you fall down, we may have to bury you. Yet, I don't have that. I have not raised any dead yet. But it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Did you say amen? You see, God wants you to be an attractive person. And faithfulness is attractive. Hallelujah. What makes a person attractive are not the person's gifts. Amen. It is the person's faithfulness. Initially, the gift may look nice. But what you see, if you see a mango tree standing outside there, and you see mangoes on the tree. You see, the fruit of the mango tree is the mangoes. Am I right? That is the fruit of the tree. So you go and pluck the tree. So the fruit makes the tree look attractive. But you must also understand, hear me, that the reason why that mango tree is bringing forth fruit is because the mango has been at the place for a long time. It has been rooted and planted for, it didn't take 3 months for the mango to come up. The tree has been there for a long time. So to see the fruit on the tree, it means that the tree has been established and has been steadfast. Somebody say amen. It means the tree, you see the tree we see here? The tree outside, can you all see the tree? This tree you see outside here, it has suffered rain, sunshine, storm, everything has happened and it is standing there. When you go and share your tree, when you close, go and share, say, tree, I congratulate you. For the tree to be there, you don't say, oh God, you know, the prayer we pray, oh God, I don't want any trouble. If you are going to be like the tree, you are going to go through trouble, you are going to go through challenges, the rain will fall, the storms will come, the sun will shine. But if you can keep standing, you bring forth fruits. I see you bringing forth fruits in the name of Jesus. I see our ministry bringing forth much fruit in Jesus' name. But you've got to survive some things. Ask your neighbor, what have you survived? What have you been through? Now, when I say, what have you survived? You answer back, what have you been through? What have you survived? I didn't hear you. What have you survived? What have you survived? I'm telling you, you know, one day, senior, you know, we went to a certain senior pastor came to our church. And then he said, you see, at a certain stage, and what he said made a certain strong imprint on our lives. He said that at a certain stage, it is not what you have achieved that matters. It is what you have survived.
I know you didn't hear me. Should I say it again?
He said, at a certain stage, it is not what you have achieved that matters. It is what you have survived. So when I say, what have you survived? What do you say? What have you survived? Everybody who has gone a little bit has survived some things.
Amen.
And one of the greatest key that is going to make you the most attractive person in the house of God is your faithfulness. It's your loyalty. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let me give you areas where we are supposed to be faithful. And then I'm going to move on to talk to you about signs of our loyalty. Hallelujah. When the Bible says, be faithful unto death, it applies to your important relationships. Your important relationships. Amen. It applies to what? I can't hear you. I cannot hear you at all. Now, my brother, do you have important relationships in this life? Who is important to you, for example?
Yes, my father.
Your father?
My pastor.
Your pastor?
My friend, my close friend.
Your close friend? Wow, very good. You're a good Christian. He started by talking about my father. Now you see, nobody is an island. You are not an island. God created you to have a certain relationship with other people. Amen? You have relationship with other people. And you've got to be faithful in your important relationships.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Do you have important relationships in your life? Do you have people who are important to you? Oh, senior, I didn't see you. Sorry, sir. Nice to see you. I didn't see you at all, so I will not come too close here anymore. What a shock. Hallelujah. How many of you are still here? Do you have important relationships? We all have important relationships. This man says that his father is an important person in his life. To be loyal, to be faithful means to death means that be loyal to your important relationships. There are people that you might decide that I'm going to relate to this person until I die. Your father, your mother, sometimes even a friend that God gives you. And every relationship shall be tried. I know you didn't hear what I said. Every relationship shall be tried. Can I have an amen? Every relationship with people that you will be tried. It will be tried. Your relationship with your pastor will be tried. With your mother, there are some people who have. I met a lady once who told me that I will never talk to my mother till I die. I said, you'll die early if you don't take care. You don't talk to your mother till you die. You may easily die early, earlier than your mother. No matter, your mother will always be your mother. Your father will always be your father. Can I have an amen? Your mother will always, your father will always be your father. And you must value and treasure and keep certain relationships. They will be tried. They will be tried. They will, you go through challenges. But you must look at this thing. It's too important for me to allow a little situation to just separate us. Some of you ladies, you like quarreling too much. Oh, the ladies here are different. You never quarrel with anybody, isn't it? Father, all of them are going to heaven in the name of Jesus. But at least in my church, I know the women, they can quarrel. Generally, it's here too. Thank you. I see one Christian here. I don't know how it is with women. Hey, women, they can cry, hello. Something that a man hasn't seen. And then I say, well, then it done the one been. And the way she was walking, as if the whole church belongs to her. And she was walking. And she was walking like this. Hey! What a shock. I tell you, what a man has not seen, women can see. So my wife would tell me, oh, do you see that lady was wearing red and green dress and then she has done her hair? I said, I don't see any hair. I didn't see any red and I just saw people coming. What you are describing? So the one who has done her eyelashes so you can see the eyelashes. Hey! How did God create women? It's a shock. That's why he said that when God was creating women, men were asleep. That's why men didn't understand women. God was sleeping when God created women. Adam was fast asleep. When he woke up, a woman was there. So you can't understand them. Very complex. But we still like you. Somebody say amen. Are you still there? I'm telling you. You've got to keep important relationship. No, I have two sisters. My mother is 82 years old. I have two sisters and the men, we are two sisters, two brothers, so we are five. Three men and then three ladies. Sometimes when my sister will call me, Bishop, I was talking to you. Mommy, the way she was talking, I'm not happy at all. I say, hey, your mother is old. Stop crying with your mother. 80 years. Please, Abba. I mean, what I have not seen. Say, on a call, I was talking to mommy and she was angry. And me too. Me, I don't like these things. I won't call her again. I said, you will call her. You can't say you call her again. What do you mean you will not call her again? I said, look, 82, how many years does she have to live? You will do by the time she's done, you are not talking to your mother. And you come and cry, mommy, shame on you. You're crying with your mother until she died. I'm telling you, what a shock. Are you still there? You've got to keep good relationship. Amen. Years ago, you know, I lost my first wife. But you see, when I lost my wife, I knew. I cried so much and all that and so on. But I knew in my heart that this lady, I really loved her and I treated her very well. Amen. There was nothing that I would say I would do that I didn't do for her. When it comes to loving, I love her. Caring, I care for her. I'll buy her clothes. I'll buy her wig. I'll buy her earrings. I'll buy her bodies. You call it bodies? Brazier. I'll buy everything for her. Some of you men, you don't even know your wife's brazier size. 38 DD. Go and buy 42 DD. What a shock. Yeah. I'm preaching. Some of you are very bad husbands. Very, very bad husbands. Since engagement day, you gave your wife 4 pieces of cloth. You have not bought any cloth for her again. It's been 13 years now. Nothing for her. Yes, I'm saying it. I'm saying it. I tell you. You must know how to buy a wig for your wife. Go to the place and look at all that. You see which one fits on your wife's head. How it will fit on the head. You say, this one, yeah, it will be very good. Buy earring. Buy underwear, panties. Buy for. Don't go and buy boxer shorts for your wife. Women don't wear boxer shorts. They wear panties. I'm preaching. Yes, I'm not stopping to preach at all. Somebody say amen. Are you still here? Are you still here? Look, when my wife passed there, I knew in my heart that, look, I loved her too much. That's why God called her home. But I really loved her. Not that we never quarreled. Not that we never had myself. No, I never quarreled with her. She quarreled with me. I never quarreled with her. Well, I have the microphone and she's not here, so I can speak. But you see, we had a few here and there, but I'm saying that all in all, I don't have any regrets that I should have loved them more. I should have done that. I knew that I loved them the best I could. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Say amen. How many of you are hearing me? Are you still in church? Be faithful. Be faithful in your relationship. Number two. Let me carry on. Is it yet 7 o'clock? What's the time now? Is it yet 7 o'clock? Oh, it's only 10 minutes to 7. Okay, let's carry on. Don't worry, I'll end very early. I promise you. By 12 o'clock, I'd have closed. What a shock. Number two. Be faithful unto death applies to your marriage. You must be loyal in your marriage. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why nobody said amen. If you marry this lady, this is the one you have chosen, and be faithful to her. Don't tell. I know a certain brother. He had married and he was trying to misbehave, chase other girls. And then he said that, I married in the night. That's why I didn't see who I was getting married to. You know, Jacob married Leah in the night. And when she woke up, it was somebody else. So he said, the wife I have is not the real one I wanted. I married in the night. You married in the night. Your eyes were open like that. Some of you, one day a brother told me that, I don't like my wife. I said, why? He said, she's too fat. He said that when I was marrying her, she was slim. Me, when I was marrying my wife, she was slim. I used to call her spiritual and sexy. Then after she gave birth and she put on weight, I call her pleasantly plump. Whether slim or big, I like it. May you like what you have chosen in the name of Jesus. How many of you are here? You might be faithful and loyal in your marriage. In your marriage. What a word. I said, what a word. You've got to be faithful in it. That I've chosen this one and I'm going to stay with this one by his grace. And you see, every brother, when you marry, it doesn't mean that you don't see any beautiful lady. That's what they are there, And those of you who are not married, you don't have sex when you are not married. Why didn't you say amen? Young men, why didn't you say amen? When you see a young girl and then she's moving, you're walking behind the girl and the buttocks are shaking, it doesn't mean and your thing is rising. You must say, I command you to lie down in the name of Jesus. I'm preaching. You've got to know how to wait until the right time. Hold your neighbors here and say, the man is talking to you. You are the reason for this point. you don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. And when you marry, be faithful in your marriage. I said, be what? Faithful in your marriage. When you see other beautiful girls, you tell yourself, I've chosen this one. And I'm grateful to God for what I have. Amen. I love what I have. In spite of all the, because there's a scripture that says that stolen waters are sweet. Stolen waters are sweet. When you steal the water, it's sweeter than the one that you didn't steal. There's everything in the Bible. Yeah, stolen waters are sweet. I think it's Proverbs chapter 5 or chapter 5, isn't it? Stolen waters are sweet. So you see, don't follow stolen waters. They may look sweet, but it will be bitter after you drink it. Can I have an amen? Amen. And ladies, these days, you have ladies who are also not faithful. Very bad girls. They are not satisfied with their husbands. I know a lady who can scale the wall and follow another man. When you fall down, your leg breaks, you will see. One day I was in a hotel. I used to work, when I was in law school, I used to work in my senior's hotel. I used to work with my senior in chambers was my bishop's father, and then he was Mills. I used to work in his chambers. And when I was in law school, now I used to also work in his hotel in the evenings. I was sitting on the hotel veranda one day when I saw a man, big man, with a big pot belly. I was the one about five times my own. More than 9 months pregnant woman. I mean, the man's throat was big. And I was walking like that. And he was walking with a little girl like a shrimp. small girl. And you can see that this man's age, the man was above 60, about 65 or so. And then this young girl, maybe about 21, 22, following this big pot belly into a hotel room. I told myself, young girls of today, they don't fear God. What about if the stomach bursts into her eyes? What will she do? You are following this stomach to the hotel room. What a shock! Are you still here? I tell you. It's not a simple situation. They don't fear anything. The stomach could be, maybe she'll be rubbing the stomach. Oh, darling, oh, darling. The man can be your grandfather. Call her darling. Your mouth like darling. I mean, the point I'm making is that, you see, you've got to be faithful unto death in your relationships, in your marriage. Amen? Number three. Can I continue? I said, can I continue? You've got to be faithful. That means be faithful in your church membership. Be faithful in your church membership. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you still there? I'm happy to see honorable, busy man sitting in church on a Friday evening. Where do you work? You work at a Malata market. You can't come to church in the evening. Busy people are making time for God. May you be faithful in your church, in your church attendance and your church membership. Can I have an amen? Some of you come to church once every 3 weeks. Some of you, you don't come to church until you get a phone call or WhatsApp reminding you of church. We, Pastor, we are spoiling you members. We have to bring bus to come and pick you to come to church. In our day, there was nothing like a bus coming to pick you. You'd be walking and singing on your way, all the way to church. You've got to be loyal in your church membership. No, you should have shouted a louder amen. How many of you are hearing me today? Are you hearing me? When the Bible said be faithful unto death, means that if you have chosen this church as your church, you've got to be loyal. You must be in the church. Either your pastor, you stay in the church, either your pastor buries you or you bury your pastor. That's what it means. The only two things that will separate you is death. That means I'm going to be in my church. That either my pastor will bury me or I'll bury my pastor. But this church, I'm here by the grace of God. Nothing's going to move me out of here. And nothing's going to move me out of here. May you be loyal in your church membership. I said, may you be loyal in your church membership. And I will know how loyal you are by the way you pay your tithes. Oh, I'm coming home now. I'm dialing somebody's number. Pick the phone and answer the call right there. I'm saying I'm going to know how loyal you are by your paying of your tithes. So if you take your tithe envelope, you know your salary is 300 Ghana cedis, and you put in the envelope 5 cedis. Say, Lord, you receive it. No problem. God is watching. You are giving tithe 5 cedis. If you don't take it, God will make you get a job that you earn 50 cedis a month, because that's the tithe that you have started paying. Tell your neighbor, the man knows about you. The man knows about you. That's why he's saying what he's saying. Amen. We will see your loyalty to the church, number one, based on the way you even give your tithes. In this church, everybody must pay tithes. If you didn't say amen, you are a suspect. I said if you didn't say amen, you are a suspect. We suspect you. Hallelujah. You must honor the Lord with your tithes. Very important. Somebody came and somebody said that, a pastor said, as for my church, everybody pays tithes. 100% tithe payers. He says, and he explained and went further and said that 50% bring their tithes and 50% God goes for it. That means if you don't bring, God himself will come for the tithe from you. It's not easy for God to come for his tithe, because God said the tithe is mine. Amen. I said amen. Amen. There are three things you must never touch. God says all the tithe belongs to God. Vengeance belongs to God, and the glory belongs to God. These three things, you don't tithe them. The glory, vengeance, and tithe belong to God. Can I have an amen? The glory belongs to him. The tithe is mine, and vengeance is mine. These are three areas you don't. When somebody offends you, don't retaliate, because vengeance belongs to God. Say amen. When somebody praises you, don't take the glory. Otherwise, you will begin to, worms will eat you up like they ate Herod. And then when it comes to tithing, don't touch it, because it belongs to God. Are you still in church? Ask your neighbor who is sleeping. Are you in church? Are you in church? Are you in church? Pinch him and tell him, I'm just checking to see whether you are awake. Pinch him. Pinch your neighbor. Say, I'm just checking. I'm just checking. I'm just checking. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you going to be faithful to your church? Are you going to be faithful to your church? Since Lighthouse Chapel International started, by the grace of God, I've been in the church. We have been driven out of our meeting places. We met in the garage before. We met in the rain before. We met by the grace of God. I am still in the church. Can I have an amen? And I've seen the church grow and multiply. I've seen one church come after the other. I was there when we started the first branch in Switzerland. We started a second branch in Kumasi. We went on, and so today, by the grace of God, we have over 3,000 churches. And I've been there to see all of them start one by one. May you see the blessing that comes upon this ministry as you stay in the ministry. Can I have an amen? A time is going to come. We are going to count our branches in hundreds. Oh, I thought somebody would shout a louder amen. White Harvest, a time is going to come. We are going to count our branches in hundreds. We have 500 branches in Accra here. By the grace of God, we have 350 branches of the church. In Accra, 350 branches. By His grace. By His grace. I see that grace coming upon this ministry. In the name of Jesus, I see young men and women rising up to become pastors and lady pastors in the church. Ladies, you are not just created to fry eggs. You are worth more than frying eggs. May you become a minister of the gospel in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Are you there? We will see the blessing of God on this ministry. We will see the blessing multiply. We see branches in every suburb in Accra. We see branches in every city in Ghana. We see branches outside Ghana. We see branches in Liberia. We see branches in Sierra Leone. We see branches in Cote d'Ivoire. May God multiply the grace upon this church in Jesus' name. God will do it. Tell your neighbor, God will do it. Do you really believe it? Instrumentalists, do you believe it? God will make instrumentalists pastors. When I come and you're not behind the drums, you are pastoring a branch of church somewhere else, and somebody is playing the drums. Clap your hands for the Lord, somebody. Amen. Let's be faithful in our church. In our church belonging. Can I have an amen? Some people, they change churches so easily. Like the way they change their clothes. This week, when they hear, hey, a prophet has come to Bubuashi, they are there. And they go to the church, until somebody offends or somebody deceives them. And they move to, they keep on moving and moving. There's no sign of stability. But may you be faithful unto death. It's God who planted you here. I said, it's God who planted you here. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. God ordered your steps and brought you here. May you be faithful unto death. As you stay in the church, can I have an amen? Are you still there? Are you still there? To be faithful to death means to be faithful to your pastor. To be faithful to your pastor. Or the man of God, God has given you. Come on, shout amen. I don't know whether I'm speaking to anybody here. Are you going to be loyal? I always remember the day I stood with Bishop Dagwood Mills at Mesa Sabah Hall on the street of Mesa Sabah Hall several years ago, when he told me, he said, God has told me to start a church. I was standing with him. It was evening, maybe about 9, 10 p.m. several years ago. He told me that God has told me to start a church. I didn't even go for any prayer. I didn't go and fast and pray. When he said that, my immediate response, God has called me to follow you. And by the grace of God, I've followed up until now. And I've seen the blessing and the grace of God. Shout amen, somebody. Shout your loudest amen. Don't use the church as your platform to launch your ministry. Don't use somebody's church as a platform. I'm going to this church and it's in your mind. I'm going to be here for 3 to 5 years. I'm going to see how Reverend Champion does ministry. I'm going to watch this thing. I'm going to catch. And then when I'm ready, by the time I'll launch, by the time you're launching out, you have deceived half of the church members and they're following you. That is why churches split. That's why churches don't grow. Because sometimes one leader rises up. And by the time the leader is walking out there, he has deceived one third of the angels in heaven. And they've gone out. And so now the pastor has to now lick his wounds and start all over again. I pray for you that if you're in this church, you'll be loyal and faithful to the pastor God has given you. And the truth of the matter is that your pastor is not God. Somebody say amen. Your pastor is a servant of God. So if you feel that this is not where you must belong to, it's not a problem. There are so many churches around here. In Accra, Accra has one church per square meter, more than many anywhere in the world. Apart from Port Harcourt, I'm told. Every corner, there are churches there. So if you believe that this is not where you might belong to, no problem. I can give you money. Hey, do you have money? Give me money. Give me some money. 10, 20, any money at all. 20 is not a bad amount. If you are here in this church and you are not sure that this is where you must be, maybe you feel that God has called you to join Traffic Light International. Stand up. I'll give you money to take transport to go to that church now. Is there anybody here? No, but if you are going, go alone. Somebody say amen. And if you are going, do what? Go alone. Don't influence anybody else. Because if you influence somebody, you're a thief. Can I have an amen? Amen. You cannot belong to Lighthouse. You're a Lighthouse pastor, a branch pastor. And then tomorrow you come and tell us the church that you go to your church. Say, praise the Lord. Last night I saw a television. Sorry. I saw a vision. And the vision I saw the name Lighthouse had been changed to Traffic Light. Hey! You're a thief. Amen. I'm preaching. I saw that the name, you know, we all belong to White Harvest Church. But when I saw the vision, I saw Word Harvesters International Ministry. Hey! Where are you coming from? You say, Word Harvest. Yours is Word Seed. I'm preaching. Tell anybody, the man is preaching. Can I have an amen? Can I take this money? Thank you. Nobody wanted it in the church. Now, I'm saying to everybody in this church that if you are here and you believe you are here, may you be loyal to the pastor God has given you. And your pastor has a right to rebuke you. He has a right to correct you. He has a right to preach a message that may be hard to you. But that doesn't mean walk out. It's for your blessing. Only a vagabond and only a rebel doesn't want correction. Can I have an amen? If you are not, cannot be corrected, you are a bastard and not a son. But a real son can be corrected. A real son can be rebuked. A real son can be corrected when he's going off. It's only bastards that cannot be corrected. May you never be a bastard in the name of Jesus. I said, may you never be a bastard in the church. You cannot be in a church where the pastor is always preaching nice sermons. Amen. I receive it. I receive a new car. All of it is nice. But when you are wrong, the pastor will be able to tell you that you are wrong. You don't behave this way. And you can't say, the way he's talked to me, I'm going to my Zion. You are going to your Rome. We are still preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Some people cannot handle correction. Bible calls them bastards. But this church, there will be no bastards here. I said, there will be no bastards here. You'll be submitted and submissive. You know, the word submission means
power under control. Somebody say amen.
When somebody is submissive, it means the person is powerful, but he's under control. Power under control. Say, power under control.
I did not hear you. I did not hear you.
So, I don't know who plays the keyboard. You play. Play something. Play something.
Wow.
Is it beautiful? Do you understand what he's playing? You don't understand, but he's playing. Now, this man, I'm sure he's very gifted. Brother, I'm sure you're very gifted. Isn't it? But you see, come to me. No matter how gifted you are, you must be under control.
Can I have an amen?
You may play like the blind man. What's his name? Stevie Wonder. You may play, be able to play like anybody else. But submission is power under control. You are gifted. You are talented. But you are under control. So that no matter how well you play, the pastor can come and say, no, play this one, not this one. And you are not angry because you are under control. Many instrumentalists are not under control. Many gifted people are not under control. Nobody can correct them. Nobody can tell them. When you correct them, they leave the organ and they leave the guitar and walk away. But you see, the day you walk away, God will bring somebody else to sit in your chair and play better than you. Clap your hands for the Lord. I've been a pastor for many years. Many years, and I know what I'm talking about. Are you the first keyboardist in this church? You cannot be. Unless the chair, you are not the first to sit on the chair. So I shall sit on it well. Because the day you get angry and you get up and walk out, somebody will come and occupy your place. Your God, nobody can take the work of God hostage. Nobody can hijack the work of God. So anytime you feel, me, I'm so great. I'm the best worship leader. And so you want to sing what you want to sing. The pastor, let's sing this song. Oh, no. Pastor said, it's time to end the worship. Say, I'm not free. I'm led by the Spirit. The pastor cannot control me. You are not under control. Submission is power under control. Amen. Are you still here? I said, are you still in church? There are too many rebels on our stages. So many rebels who are pastoring churches. So many rebels in the congregation who are gifted and talented, but nobody can advise. Nobody can talk to them. Nobody can correct them. You are in the choir. The choir leader says that this week we are wearing red and blue. You say, me, I wear green and yellow. You may be the lead singer, but you're not under control. God will make you sit down and God will bring somebody else to replace you. Because no one person can hijack the work of God. I'm preaching. I said, I'm preaching. How many of you are still in church? Because you are not happy of the song that the choir leader has chosen. When the choir leader, this song we are singing, when we are singing, we are going to move from left to right. Two steps left, two steps right. So we are singing like this. One, two, one, two. And because you're angry, you are going like this. You are going like this. You see what I'm saying? It is called misbehavior. If you don't take it, God can retire you before your time. And God can bring other people. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Play the keyboard and play well. Play and stay under control. Don't tell the choir leader that I know what you even choir leader, you can't play the complaint, so I can do what I like. No way. If you are in the choir, you play the organ, you play the keyboard, play the drums, you must still be under control. That is how your blessing will come. And that's how your blessing will come. How many of you are still in church? Are you still here? I said, are you still here? Ask your neighbor, are you under control? If I hold your neighbor here and pull the ear and ask him, you in particular, are you under control? Many wives are not under control. Their husband can't control them. many wives. When your husband says one, you say 17. What a shock. Many men are suffering in their houses, oh, because they have rebellious wives who can, when they come to church, they wear their pancake and they wear their lipstick and they're okay, how are you? Nyamina Adam. Go and look at her in the house. She doesn't say Nyamina Adam. They're like Adwa Tarzan in the house. Araba Rambo. Araba Rambo. I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. Submission is what? Submission is what? Look at all these wonderful, you know, senior was showing me, introducing his pastor. Said this pastor, his church bid is even bigger than this one. What a beautiful thing it is. But he is still under control. It doesn't get into your head that my church is bigger than my senior pastor's church, so I am more anointed than him. No, you will not be as foolish as that. The church I pastor, the church building itself is bigger than my bishop's church building. But I am under control. It doesn't get to my head that I'm not the greatest at all. When I die, God will bring somebody else to do the work. When I become too known, God will retire me and raise somebody else. Submission is power under the fact that I shout louder, the fact I jump higher and shout louder than my bishop doesn't make me the leader. He's the leader. Doesn't take shouting to be the founder. It's just an anointing and a calling to be the founder. Somebody shout amen. It's not your shouting that makes you a founder. I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. Many of us, we have lost, we lose our place. When the devil whispers into your ears and tells you, you are greater than your father. You are more anointed than your pastor. The pastor's anointing is gone. Don't you see that when you preach and you lay hands on people, they all fell down? Because the people are falling down, if you are more anointed than your senior pastor. Chia. Are you still in church? Who said chia? Hey, Mr. Organist. I will finish. Come and start. Come and join me and preach. Stand here. You think you can go and sit down? I'm preaching till I finish. Submission. Stay here. Stay with me. How many of you are still in church? I said, how many of you are still in church? You say chia. I know who said chia. Take your program. I'm going home. Hey, let's go. What a shock. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You've got to be faithful to the leader God has given you. Your blessings is linked to the pastor God has given you. But the devil wants to divide you. The devil wants to take you away from your place of blessing. I've seen people who out of anger walked away from the church, and before they realize, they become backsliders and the devil is using them. If they are staying in the church, it should have been for their own blessing. Amen. Anytime you see, you know, that thing you are playing in church, somebody whispered to you and said that, look, if you're in this other church, they will be paying you a lot of money. Yeah, they don't pay you, they don't give you anything, they're always shouting on you. You see that thing. So if you are in that church, you are a session man. You can go from church to church and they'll be putting money in your pocket. Yeah, when you play, nobody will say thank you. And they say, hey, the devil is talking to somebody right there. I'm preaching. Oh, yeah, you see, yeah, they don't give up. And then when the pastor comes to, he's shouting on us as we are children. And somebody will come and whisper to you that, I know a certain church, they pay them sumantally, they pay them good money. Yeah, how much are they giving you that they come and then, oh, so let's all go. They are leading you away from your blessing, from your real blessing. Amen. I know a church in Accra. One day, all the instrumentalists, I know you are going to be exceptional. Can I have any? If you are sitting on the stage and I'm preaching about you, you must laugh. You must smile. Otherwise, I'll feel that you are a suspect. So you must keep smiling until I finish preaching. Are you there? I know a certain church in Accra where all the instrumentalists decided that we'll go on strike because our pastor has not been treating us well. To be surprised, the choir, the worship leader also joined them. What a shock! The worship leader joined them. And they went on. I looked this one time. The pastor, the senior pastor, didn't know. When I arrived in church, not the organist, the congalist, the bass guitar, lead guitar, everybody was absent. And the choir leader, the worship leader too. And the pastor too, he likes to pray. So his voice is like prayer voice. When he talks like a frog, you know how those who pray. So the pastor has to lead the worship. The singing was like frogs dancing in the water. It was a terrible Sunday because all of them were. The pastor was so sad. The following week, the instrumental didn't come again, and the worship leader. It was the third week. Oh, the church, can you imagine how the church would suffer without any instrumentalists in the church? It was difficult, but the story is beautiful. As the weeks went by and nobody came, a young boy from the back got up and said, "Please, Pastor, I want to learn how to play the keyboard." So he started learning little by little. Within 1 month, 2 months, he was playing quite well. Somebody got up, "I want to learn how to play the drums." And he also started picked up. And then slowly, 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 and all the people came and filled the stage to play the instrument in the church. Anybody who walks away from God, God has a replacement. I said, anybody who walks away from your place, God has a what? Replacement. Nobody can hijack the work of God. I've been a pastor close to 30 years. Until nobody can hijack the work of God. I'm telling you. So, the stage was filled. Today, the church I'm talking about, you have to kill to be able to play instrument because there's so many instrumentalists. People have come up. But some of the people who rebelled and walked away, I know two of them. One of them is now a DJ in a nightclub. Meanwhile, he was in the church playing instruments. He didn't know that it was his own salvation. Today, he's a DJ in a nightclub. Another one went to impregnate his maid, and now the maid is pregnant with his wife. I'm telling you. You don't know that it is to your own blessing that you are sitting in church this evening. If you are not here this evening, where would you be? Where would you be? If not for the grace of God, you may be a drunkard. Do you know that? You can easily be a drunkard. So for you to be sitting here playing instruments is for your own salvation. God has done you good by making you play the organ in church. May you sit on your chair well. May nobody replace you, but may you do what God has called you to do well. You can go and sit down now. Clap for my brother as he goes to sit down. Oh, clap for him. Clap for him. Somebody shout amen. Are you still in church? May you be loyal to your pastor. Amen. And I'm ending now. The next one. Be faithful unto death means be faithful to the call of God. Hallelujah. If God has called you, be faithful to the call. Never exchange the call of God for anything. Can I have an amen? If God has called you, never exchange that call. That call, do the work. Don't exchange the call of God for anything else. And finally, to be faithful to death means to be faithful to the message God has given you. Say amen. Be loyal to the message God has given you. Many of us, honorable, many pastors, God forgive us, we are changing our messages. The message that God has given us pastors, we are changing it. We don't preach salvation anymore. We don't preach repentance. We don't preach holiness. We don't preach turning away from. We only preach messages that will make people happy. We are not loyal to the message God has given us. God looks at us and says, he wonders, what is this church doing? What is this church doing? What are they talking about? We are talking about principles of, you see, our churches are different from Gimpa. Gimpa, they teach them principles of management. That is for Gimpa. But in the church, we preach Christ, we preach the cross, we preach salvation, we preach healing, we preach deliverance, we preach the power. That is the work of the church. The church is not it's not Gimpa. The church is not motivational. The church is salvation. The church is about heaven and hell. That is what we must preach about. And God said we must be loyal to the message until death. Even when it is not popular, let's preach. Even when people feel that, hey, you are an old-time preacher, still preach the message of salvation. That's the message that Christ gave us. May we be loyal to the message God has given us. Stand to your feet, everybody.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands for the Lord. And lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I need no other arguments. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And that he died. I need no other arguments. I need no other arguments. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And that he died. Let's start from the beginning. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or dream. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall. Arguments. I need no other. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Lift your two hands, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your people. I pray that none of us will ever miss our way. I breathe the spirit of faithfulness unto your people, the spirit of steadfastness, the spirit of loyalty, the spirit of remaining faithful unto death. Teach us, oh God, teach us, oh God, to trust in you. Teach us, oh God, to know and understand that our labor in you will never be in vain. Bless your church. Bless your people. Be glorified in every life here. I pray, oh God, that you breathe your grace upon this ministry. Breathe your blessing upon this ministry. And everyone that is here tonight, let your word rule and reign in our hearts and be glorified. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Clap your hands for the Lord and let's welcome our dear pastor.